Venture X from Capital One is the travel card for people always asking,
where next?
You earn 10x miles on hotels and rental cars and 5x miles on flights booked through Capital One Travel and 2x miles on everything else you buy with Venture X. Plus, receive premium travel benefits like access to over 1,300 airport lounges. The Venture X card from Capital One. What's in your wallet?
Terms apply. See CapitalOne.com for details.
Donate and listen to the podcast at WRWL.org. The following program is sponsored by What's Right, What's Left Ministries and is responsible for its content.
Portions of the following program may be pre-recorded.
I am Pastor Ernie Sanders, the voice of the Christian resistance. Stay tuned. My radio broadcast, What's Right, What's Left, is coming up right now.
From Independence, Ohio.
Changed our life for the better in many different ways.
Heard around the world every Monday through Friday.
Pastor Sanders is always years ahead of the rest of the media, telling you exactly what they're covering up.
This is What's Right, What's Left.
I tune in every chance I get to hear exactly what's going on with the voice of the Christian resistance.
Unabashedly cutting through the rhetoric by exposing the hard topics facing our society and world.
A lot of the other news media don't pick up the news items like he does.
And bringing to light the enemies of freedom who are out to steal your rights, your children, and enslaving you.
You really get the truth out. I can tune into your show and hear the unvarnished truth. Thank you.
This is What's Right, What's Left with Pastor Ernie Sanders.
Good evening and welcome to another edition of What's Right, What's Left on this October 9th, which is, Columbus Day, 2023. And indeed, this is the voice of the Christian resistance. And tonight we have a lot to go to. And so I'm going to get started right in the message. It's an interesting thing. The title of the message, folks, and this is how the good Lord works. Before what happened over the weekend in Israel with Hamas, I decided to, the Lord led me to preach this message. And the title of this message is Woe to the Spoilers of Jerusalem. And we're going to start tonight in Isaiah 33. Woe to thee that spoilest, and thou hast not spoiled, and dealest treacherously, and they dwelt not treacherously with thee. When thou shalt cease to spoil, thou shalt be spoiled. When thou shalt make an end to deal treacherously, they shall deal treacherously with thee. Well, I think we kind of see that happening right now. And here now, the immediate object of this anathema, and that's what it was, anathema, a wicked, wicked, evil thing like we see taking place right now over in Israel, where people are being kidnapped, murdered, children are being shot dead in front of their parents, raped. This is something Democrats would do. This is something that's right from the pit of hell, folks. And again, it's an interesting thing because you got to watch what you do. It's here, Israel itself actually created Hamas, and we'll talk a little bit about that later. And this goes back a ways, and I remember very clearly when it happened. But let's go into verse 2. Well, by the way, here, what he's talking about, and remember, the Bible is not in chronological order. Sometimes the Bible goes forward. It can go forward 1,000, 2,000 years, and sometimes it can jump back. Here, as we read this again, woe unto thee that spoilest, and those that wast not spoiled, and dealest treacherously, and they that dealt not treacherously with thee. When thou shalt cease to spoil, thou shalt be spoiled, and when thou shalt make an end to deal treacherously, they shall deal treacherously with thee. And so, again, that immediate object to this anathema was the Assyrian king, Sennacherib, whose armies were, at the time of this, whose armies were besieging Jerusalem right at the very time. And so here, we go to verse 2 now. O Lord, be gracious unto us. We have waited for thee. Be thou our their arm, every morning our salvation, also in the time of trouble. So now, he's talking about Jacob's trouble. So all of a sudden here, this is jumping way ahead. He goes on, this is jumping way ahead to the future, to the tribulation period. At the noise of the tumult, and the people fled, and the lifting up of thyself of the nations were scattered, and your spoil shall be gathered like the gathering of the caterpillar, and the running to and fro of locusts shall he run upon them. The Lord is exalted from the dwelleth on high. He hath filled Zion with judgment and righteousness, and wisdom and knowledge shall be the stability of our times and the strength of salvation, the fear of the Lord of his treasure. Now, obviously, the stability of the times can only be found in the Lord Jesus Christ, and that is every bit as applies every bit as much today as it ever did. The treasure that he's referring to is biblical literacy. Biblical literacy. Again, wisdom and knowledge shall be the stability of the times, and the strength of salvation, and the fear of the Lord is his treasure. Behold, their valiant ones shall cry without. The ambassadors of peace shall weep bitterly. Well, we kind of see that happening today, don't we, on a very large scale. Now, it happens every time when you have something, as we're seeing taking place now, a major event or tragedy. Right away, and I'm hearing from people saying, this person or that person prophesied. I heard this woman talking about this other woman say that she said it was going to happen right here in October, and she said this a ways back. And it happened. From now on, I'm going to believe whatever she tells me, folks. Believe what God's Word, the Bible, says. There's something, and believe me, October seems to be the time of year where we get a lot of surprises in October. A lot of things happen in October. And so here, I'm hearing these already. Already the question about World War III. Is this World War III? It started. Here, this attack on Israel, is this going to bring, is this when Russia comes down? And there are already all of these things. If you just read and study the Word of God, you won't have all these questions, and they come up every time. So let's do that. Let's just go through the Word of God, because we're going to cover all of that as we go through here this week. The highways lie waste, and the wayfaring man ceases. He hath broken the covenant. He hath despised the cities and regardeth no man. Again, you see, these things are taking place during the time of Jacob's trouble, during the tribulation period. But now, you're going to have these things taking place, and has from the biblical days, on different levels and different scales and different applications. But what he's talking about here in this passage of Isaiah 33 is all of these things, and it's very clear to see as we go through here that they're referring to a future time, and that future time is the tribulation period. He goes on to say, The earth mourneth and the languish. Lebanon is ashamed and hewn down. Sharon is like a wilderness, and Bashan and Carmel shake off their fruits. Now will I rise, saith the Lord. Now will I be exalted. Now will I lift up myself. You shall conceive chaff. You shall bring forth stubble. Your breath as fire shall devour you. And the people shall be as the burning of lime. As thorns cut up shall they be burned in the fire. And of course, these things are going to happen during the tribulation period, but this fire that he's talking about is going to be eternal fire. It's going to be everlasting destruction fire. Hear ye that are far off what I have done, and you that are near, acknowledge my might. The sinners in Zion are afraid. Fearfulness has surprised the hypocrites. Who among us shall dwell with the devouring fire? Who among us shall dwell with everlasting burnings? He that walketh righteously and speaketh uprightly, he that despises the gain of oppressions, that shaketh his hands from holding of bribes, that stoppeth the ears from the hearing of the blood, and shutteth his eyes from seeing evil. He's talking about righteous people. He shall dwell on high. His place of defense shall be as munitions of rocks. Bread shall be given him. His waters shall be pure. Thine eyes shall see the king in his beauty. So he's talking about the righteous men. Those that are saved in this time are going to see the coming of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Thine eyes shall see the king in his beauty. They shall behold the land that is very far off. Well, of course, we know that that land is far off. It will have two applications. The definitely changed land during the millennial kingdom. But that land that is far, very far off is heaven itself. Thine heart shall meditate terror. Where is the scribe? Where is the receiver? Where is he that counted the towers? Thou shalt not see a fierce people, a people of a deeper speech than thou canst perceive, of a stammering tongue that thou canst not understand. In other words, you're not going to have what we have today and what is taking place. If you've been watching these interviews taking place over there, the horrible things that's happening, and now you've got these people that are celebrating the murder, the rape, and the killing. You've got these people marching in New York and Florida. I understand that there was going to be one right here in Beachwood, Ohio. I don't know. I didn't see anything on it, hear anything about it, but I heard they were going to have a protest there today. Thine heart shall meditate terror. Where is thy scribe? So he's asking the question that these things will not be there. He goes on to say, look upon Zion, the city of our Solomonites. Thine eyes shall see Jerusalem, a quiet habitation, a tabernacle that shall not be taken down. No, not one of the stakes thereof shall ever be removed. Neither shall any of the cords thereof be broken. Now he's into the millennial kingdom again here. But there be glorious Lord will be unto us a place of broad rivers and streams, wherein shall go no galley with oars, neither shall any 2 gallon ships pass thereby. And so here, for the Lord is our judge, and the Lord is our lawgiver. The Lord is our king. He will save us. Thy tacklings are loosed. They could not well strengthen their mast. They could not spread the sail. Then is the prey of a great spoil divided, and the lame take the prey. And the inhabitants shall not say, I am sick. The people that dwell therein shall be forgiven their iniquity. Come near, you nations, to hear, and hearken, you people. Let the earth hear, and all that is therein, the world, and all things that come forth of it. For the indignation of the Lord is upon all nations, and his fury is upon their armies. He hath utterly destroyed them. He hath delivered them to the slaughter. Now, this chapter deals with the climax and immediate aftermath of the Great Tribulation, the day of the Lord's vengeance. Like I told you, the Bible is not in chronological order, so you can't read it that way, or you'll get very confused. So you have to understand it goes forward. It's like telling a story, and that's exactly what it is. It's a story here from God. He goes on to say, their slain also shall be cast out, and their stink shall come up out of their carcasses, and the mountains shall be melted with their blood. And all the host of heaven shall be dissolved, and the heavens shall be rolled together as a scroll, and all their hosts shall fall down as a leaf falleth off from the vine, and as the falling fig from a tree. So here, these fearful sights from heaven will be seen following the opening of the sixth seal on that great title deed scroll in heaven. And during the early years of the great tribulation period that will come on, it'll come on the earth in the last days. The falling stars suggest a great swarm of meteorites hitting the earth. But it has another application, too. The falling stars refers to angels, too. Rolling up the heavenly scroll would indicate either a slapping of the earth's crust or a great cosmic cloud moving around the earth to blot out the sky. That's what we hear. It'll become dark. For my sword shall be bathed in heaven. Behold, it shall come down upon Edoma and upon the people of my curse to judgment. Now, Edomia is the land of Edom, and there are indications that Christ will return first to the land of the cursed Edomites, and you might find that in Obadiah or Malachi 1:3. Then proceed to Jerusalem, all the way treading to the terrible winepress of the wrath of God, wherein a vesture dipped in blood. Note also Isaiah 34:6 reads, revealing that the Lord hath a great slaughter in the land of Idumea. The distance from Bozrah to Jerusalem is about 1,600 furlongs. He goes on to say, the sword of the Lord is filled with blood, and is made fat with fatness, and with the blood of lambs and goats, with a fast of the kidneys of rams, for the Lord hath a sacrifice in Bozrah, and a great slaughter in the land of Idumea. Again, here, as we're looking at this stuff, this is the climax, if you will, of the great tribulation period. And the unicorn shall come down with them, and the bullocks with the bulls, and their land shall be soaked with blood, and their dust made fat with fatness. Now, that's an interesting, for it is the day of the Lord's vengeance and the year of recompenses from the controversy of Zion. Well, that word controversy is the same word as we use for cause. And the streams thereof shall be turned into pitch, and the dust thereof into brimstone, and the land thereof shall become a burning pitch. again, I want you to remind you that all of this stuff is coming. You kind of seen with what has taken place today as we're watching in Gaza, we're watching Israel retaliate. And that's how we started out. Woe to the spoilers and those was not spoiled and treacherously and dealt with treacherously. So it deals to the spoiler of Jerusalem. Here is what it's dealing with. And we're seeing today the spoiler of Jerusalem. We saw what happened yesterday as those rockets were hitting in Jerusalem. It's just unbelievable how these things are. Now, God's Word, the Bible, is so accurate, how it has so many precise applications. And again, I wanted to say that at the time this was a writing, the application was to the immediate object of this anathema, and that's what it is, that it's anathema, was the Assyrian king whose armies were besieging at that time in Jerusalem. And now we jump forward, and he goes on, Isaiah switches, and then he starts talking about a future, and now he's going, even though he went ahead all the way into the millennial kingdom, and now in the next chapter, he's going back to the end of the tribulation period, to the last part of the tribulation period. And verse 9 says, and the streams thereof shall be turned into pitch, and the dust thereof into brimstone, and the land therefore shall become burning pitch. And it shall not be quenched night nor day. The smoke thereof shall go up for the ever. From generation to generation it shall lie waste. None shall pass through it forever and ever. Now, here's something a lot of people really don't understand, that the smoke, it seems to dissipate, but it really doesn't go out of existence. It literally keeps going, smoking and the stuff in the air. I know it's hard to believe, but this is what scientists will tell you. But the cormorant and the bittern shall possess it. The owl and the raven shall dwell in the land, and it shall stretch out upon it the lines of confusion and the stones of emptiness. They shall call the nobles thereof to the kingdom, but none shall be there, and all her princes shall be nothing. Those are legislators, folks, that they when they refer to princes. And thorns shall come up in her palaces, nettles and brambles, the fortresses thereof, and shall be in the habitation of dragons and a court for owls. Now, this is describing perfectly Israel before 1948. The wild beasts of the desert shall also meet with the wild beasts of the island, and the satyr shall cry to the fellow, and the screech owl shall rest there and find her for herself a place of rest. There shall be a great owl make her nest, and lay in hatch great gather under her shadow. And there shall be vultures also be gathered, every one with her mate. See you out of the book of the Lord, and read. No one of these shall fail. None shall want her mate, for from my mouth it hath commanded, and the Spirit hath gathered them. And he hath cast a lot for them, and his hand hath divided unto them my line, and shall possess it forever, from generation to generation, and dwell within. Okay. And we're going to go to a break, and well, let's find out, where did Hamas actually come from? Take her away.
Thank you. The Palestinian militant group Hamas has carried out brutal acts of terror against Israeli civilians. And Israeli and American leaders are always keen to tell us how dangerous and evil Hamas is.
The inhumanity of Hamas.
I have no sympathy for Hamas.
That keep shelling Israel with thousands of rockets and mortar shells.
But what if I told you that Israel helped create Hamas? Officially, Hamas, which is the acronym for an Arabic phrase meaning Islamic Resistance Movement, was founded in 1987 at the start of the first Palestinian Intifada, or uprising, against the Israeli occupation. But its roots were planted much earlier. The Hamas founder, Sheikh Ahmed Yassin, was a half-blind, disabled Palestinian cleric and member of the Muslim Brotherhood. The Brotherhood had been repressed by the Egyptians in Gaza prior to 1967. But once the Israelis invaded and occupied the Strip, they didn't just turn a blind eye to these Islamists, they encouraged them. See, the Israelis, especially right-wing Israelis, wanted to undermine the power of the dominant Palestinian political force at that time, the nationalist PLO, at the heart of which was the secular Fatah party of Yasser Arafat, their bête noire.
بغصن الزيتون في يدي وببندقية الثائر في يدي.
By empowering Sheikh Yassin and the Muslim Brotherhood, Israeli leaders thought they could divide and rule the occupied Palestinians, play them off against each other, secular nationalists against religious Islamists. So in 1978, when Yassin wanted to officially register his Islamic Association, which was basically the precursor to Hamas, the Israelis were only too keen to help. Yassin built and grew a network of Islamist social institutions across Gaza, including schools and clubs and mosques, and Israel helped fund some of those projects. Most American politicians have no clue about any of this, although the former Republican Congressman Ron Paul once made this point on the floor of the House.
Hamas was encouraged and really started by Israel because they wanted Hamas to counteract Yasser Arafat.
Arafat himself told an Italian newspaper, quote, Hamas is a creature of Israel. He even claimed that former Israeli Prime Minister Yitzhak Rabin admitted as much to him, calling it a fatal error. Now, you might be wondering, why should I believe mad Ron Paul or the famously shady Yasser Arafat? Well, you don't have to. You can believe top Israeli and US officials who've basically owned up to all this. Brigadier Yitzhak Segev, for example, who was the Israeli military governor in Gaza, and later told a New York Times reporter that he helped finance the Islamic movement. The Israeli government gave me a budget, he said, and the military government gives to the mosques. Colonel David Hakam, who worked in Gaza in the late 1980s as an Arab affairs expert in the Israeli military, has admitted that the original sin was Israeli support for Yassin in the late 70s. But at the time, he has argued, nobody thought about the possible results. Well, Avner Cohen did. Cohen was the Israeli official who was responsible for religious affairs in Gaza for more than two decades, and who now says, quote, Hamas, to my great regret, is Israel's creation. Yeah, Cohen's words. He actually wrote an official report to his superiors in the mid-1980s, warning them not to play divide and rule in the occupied territories and calling on Israel to, quote, break up this monster before this reality jumps in our face. But no one else on the Israeli side really took the possibility of blowback seriously at that time. They never do, do they? Hamas has since killed far more Israeli civilians than any secular Palestinian militant group, and its leaders have been pretty viciously anti-Israeli and even anti-Semitic in their rhetoric. Sheikh Yassin would eventually be assassinated by an Israeli airstrike in Gaza.
Sheikh Yassin and its organization, the Hamas, are responsible to the killings of more than 400 Israelis. So the question shouldn't be why now. I think it should be why not before.
Why not before? Well, because before, Israel was actually nudging and winking at Yassin and co, building them up as a rival to Arafat's Fatah. The die was cast for blowback. Blowback, incidentally, that they decided to double down on, when they assassinated Yassin.
You can hear the crowds chanting for Hamas, and any idea that this operation would actually suppress or diminish that organization seems to be ill-judged.
The inconvenient truth is that Hamas is in part a creature of Israel's own making, an enemy that Israel spent more than 20 years helping to build up, and then spent the next 20 years, the past 20 years that is, trying to bomb, besiege, and blockade out of existence. The three Gaza wars, fought by Israel against Hamas since 2008, killed around 2,000 Palestinian civilians and a dozen Israeli civilians. That's the real human cost of blowback. David Long, a former Middle East expert at the US State Department under Ronald Reagan, told journalist Robert Dreyfus, "I thought the Israelis were playing with fire. I didn't realize they'd end up creating a monster. But I don't think you ought to mess around with potential fanatics." It's a lesson both the Israelis and the Americans never seem to learn, though. And as usual, innocent people, in this case Palestinians and Israelis, continue to lose their lives as a result.
Alrighty, we are back, and I got an echo. Can I get that echo? Alright, there you go. He got it. I know he could. Anyhow, folks, there you go. So what was happening, what was Mr. Biden doing during all of this when our people were being slaughtered, and not, you know, Israelis, but Americans too? Well, the Biden hosts a barbecue at the White House, and posterity will marvel, writes Michael Schwartz, and perhaps even weep, over the administration of President Joe Biden. Later in the day on Sunday, multiple White House correspondents reported that the Biden spent the afternoon hosting a barbecue. Brian Bennett of Time Magazine asked the White House why he could hear music coming from the Rose Garden. The answer received defiled belief. The president and the first lady are hosting a barbecue for White House executive residents, staff, and their families, Bennett reported. Peter Ducey from Fox News received the very same information. President Biden had nothing to say about it on camera. Ducey said, presumably in reference to events in Israel. We did hear some music throughout the afternoon and the early evening coming from the south side of the White House, in the area of the Rose Garden, or the portico over there. And we are told that the president and the first lady were hosting a barbecue for executive residence staff, Ducey said. Well, that's good to know that Joe's on the job, huh? At least he's not on the beach. Now, what has taken place? All over the country, you're having these protests, pro-Palestinian protesters demonstrate outside the White House. A large number of pro-Palestinian protesters demonstrated outside the White House yesterday afternoon, just a day after Hamas launched a deadly assault against Israel. Protesters responded with flags. Now, folks, this whole thing has been planned for weeks. It had been planned out for weeks. And what about, where was our CIA? You know, they're supposed to know all of these things when these things are about to happen. Where about the Israeli intelligence? Why didn't we hear anything about all of this? Maybe they were too busy going after parents who were concerned about what their children were reading in the public school system, what was in the library books, the pornography. Maybe they were too concerned. By the way, right now, today, on the streets there in Cleveland, in front of the bloody, bloody abortion mill preterm, which is the largest whorehouse of death and destruction and murder in Ohio here, evil to the core, the preterm bloody abortion mill, they're now using drones to try to harass the pro-lifers. those that are out there trying to save babies. Out there, the activists. And I know most of all of them come from our church. And so, again, maybe that's why the FBI was just too busy doing that, and the CIA was just too busy doing that, and that's why they didn't have, or maybe, just like with January 6th, when the FBI was a big part of the insurrection, where the FBI actually led the insurrection on January 6th, maybe the FBI not only knew about it, but maybe they were involved in it, like they were in January 6th. Now, again, I wanted to say, I realize that you have a lot of field agents in the FBI. There's still some good, decent, honorable people there. I don't mean to offend all of you, but folks, the top echelon of the FBI is completely corrupt, just totally corrupted, like the so-called Justice Department. It's got nothing. They're simply there to run protection for the Biden crime cartels and the Clinton crime cartels. They're bought and paid for. All of that money, the big, big money. And by the way, folks, guess what they're finding there with Hamas? They're finding the weapons, some of the very weapons that Biden sold to the Taliban. Some of the very weapons that Biden sold to the Taliban are being used over there now against Israel. But let me go on with this article. A large number of pro-Palestinian protesters demonstrated outside the White House Sunday afternoon, just a day after Hamas launched a deadly assault against Israel. I'm surprised that Biden didn't invite him in for the barbecue. Protesters were spotted with flags, Free Palestine signs, and other materials expressing support for Palestine. Look, I've been to Israel, and I can see that just like here in America, where you have two types of justice, one for the communists, the antichrist, the unsaved, those that kill babies, one for Antifa, Black Lives Matter, and that one for people like Hillary Clinton. Then you have another tier of justice for Christian people, for pro-lifers, for conservatives, for mega people. Well, you kind of have that in Israel too. And I can see that. And some of the nicest people that I met in Israel were Palestinian Christians. They were good, solid people. These were Christians. But these were not the people that were involved in this Hamas. This Hamas, these are Muslim. These are jihadists. These are people that hate God, that hate our God. They hate life. In fact, they've even said that they will defeat Christianity because Christians love life and they love death, okay? And the Bible says all of those that hate God love death. And even if there are the two tiers of justice, it doesn't justify in any way, means, or shape what took place, what was taking place in Israel. Now, believe me, folks, you can bet that the mainstream media are going to aid, and they're already aiding and abetting already. PMSNBC and others are already aiding and abetting Hamas and Hezbollah for the wicked, the evil, the cruel murders, killing little children. I mean, the mainstream media, they love the killing of children. They can't get enough of the killing of children, whether it's by human trafficking, whether it's by... They'll help cover up each and every story. They'll aid and abet the enemy when it comes to abortion. There's not enough innocent blood in the veins of babies to quench their thirst. They're evil, wicked to the core. It goes here and says, the protesters called for the Biden regime to denounce Israel. It broke out just hours after Secretary of State Anthony Blinken. Boy, he's a winner, isn't he? Boy, you talk about a weasel. You talk about a weasel. Announced the Biden administration is working on providing military assistance to Israel. Now, I remember Blinken before making a statement about that $6 billion that Joe Obama Biden was going to give to Iran. By the way, folks, all of this, Iran is behind all of this. All of this, this has been planned for weeks and weeks and weeks. And Iran owns Hezbollah. And Hezbollah and Hamas are in this thing together. And so, again, Iran is behind all of this. Now, I remember Blinken saying how none of that money that Iran would not use any of that $6 billion for their carrying out their terrorist campaign. Now he's saying, well, Iran always uses whatever money they have. He changed his story completely up today. Of course, he'll probably change it back tomorrow. Then you go to Florida. Street fight breaks out after pro-Hamas thugs attempt to disrupt pro-Israeli rally in Florida. It's bad enough that the terrorist group Hamas committed horrendous terror attacks against Israel this weekend. To add insult to injury, pro-Hamas activists were in the streets of Florida, Fort Lauderdale, Florida, on Sunday to disrupt pro-Israeli rally. Hamas militants launched a surprise attack on Israel, catching the country off guard during a major Jewish holiday. The attack involved thousands of rockets and dozens of fighters infiltrating Israel towns near the Gaza Strip. Horrifying footage has emerged showing women being marched into vehicles, bloodied and bruised. Early reports showed Israeli civilians, including children, being captured and taken into the Gaza Strip. The death toll from Saturday's Hamas terror attack to over 400 dead. I guess that's rose now over to 1,200, the last I heard, and over 2,000 wounded, and that number's way up too. Several Americans were killed in the ambush terror attack, and many have been taken hostage. And so Hamas is threatening to execute them on camera. Let me ask you this. If Donald Trump had been in president, do you think any of this would have happened? None of this would have happened had Donald Trump been president. None of this would have happened if that election had not been stolen. And I'm going to tell you, that election was stolen. And anyone and everyone that says it's not is a liar. There's not a bit of truth in them. And I can tell you this, too. That's how Democrats can win election. And this is what they're planning on doing in Ohio. And, folks, when I had heard several people tell me that on August 8th, when we had that special election, guess what? They went to vote, and they said, wait a minute, you can't vote because you've already voted. You've already voted. Their votes were stolen. And of course, guess how they would vote. Now, we're going to start a campaign to make sure that our Secretary of State and our Attorney General knows that we expect them to be on top of this. We are tired and sick and tired of the theft, whether it be our votes or whether it be the signs that we've been putting out. The vote no signs on November 7th for this issue one and two, but especially the issue one. To us, stealing is a sin. Whatever God's word, the Bible calls a sin, the left out there embrace. Whatever the word of God calls a sin, they have to embrace. And just like they're stealing our signs that we put out, By the way, folks, we catch him, we're going to prosecute him. And by the way, I got to tell you this, too, that they get caught stealing those signs. That is a crime here in Ohio that could carry as much as a six-month prison term. In fact, I'm looking, I have the article on that here somewhere. If I can find that, I would read that to you, that yes, that is a crime punishable by 6 months in jail. And hopefully I'll have that by tomorrow. Let me see. Maybe this is it. Let me see. Is that what I have here? I've got to look. Nope, that's not quite it. That's not the article I was looking for. I have it. I'll find it. Maybe as we go to a break, I'll find it. But there is a penalty for stealing the signs. So if you see the Democrats out there looking suspicious and grabbing our signs, call the police. Call the police in your area. Tell them what you saw. Report them to the police. Try to get, if you can, their license plates number. If you have your cell phone with you, if you can get any kind of a picture, get a picture on them. Again, they can't win election fair and square. They never do anything that way. It's always got to be crooked. It's always got to be corrupted. And I can't find that article. But anyhow, I'll find it somewhere here. But anyhow, that's what's happening out there today. So you're seeing, what we're seeing is just, I believe that our intelligence agency knew all about this. I really believe that they're looking for a way to try to shut down, to stop the election. I can tell you this, the heads of the FBI, the CIA, even the IRS, by the way, the IRS now is coming after, along with the FBI, they want to start coming after Christians again. In fact, they are coming after Christians again, but we're ready for them. Anyhow, I really believe that they're scared to death that President Trump's going to get back in office. They're scared to death that he might become temporarily the Speaker of the House. And if he gets back in office, he knows now where all the bodies are buried. He's going to go after and try to finish the job he started. But I can tell you this. Had that election not been stolen, and if the legitimate president of this United States, Donald J. Trump, was still in the White House, none of this would have happened today. It wouldn't have happened today. We would not be paying what we're paying, you know, for a gallon of gasoline, over $3 a gallon of gas. We wouldn't be doing that, folks. We wouldn't be paying that. We wouldn't be paying what we're paying for food and electricity and all these things if Trump was still in office today. We'd be energy independent. We'd be exporting oil, and we would have a full oil reserve. Our military would not be in the horrible, horrible shape that our military is in today if Donald Trump were still president. And he's not president because, well, one of the reasons is a whole lot of people out there that should have been out and voting were not even registered to vote. And that is a shame. That is pitiful. That is pathetic. And if Donald Trump was still president today, you would not have in Ohio here this issue one. This horrible piece of legislation that they're trying to pass in November, folks. And I'm going to tell you, I've been watching the ads, the illegitimate, total illegitimate lying ads that they're running on television. Those people are liars that are putting those vote yes ads out. There's liars and there's not a bit of truth in them. Let me tell you that. And there's not one of them that would have the guts to come on this radio program and sit across from me. Not one of them would do that because they're liars and they know they're liars. And I can tell you this, God has said this, all liars will have their place in lake of fire. And these people practice lying, they're purposely. And these are the same people, folks, that are involved. They're all involved, they're all in this together with the human trafficking, the child sex trafficking. These are the people that are pushing that vote yes on issue one. You better understand what I'm telling you. We tried to warn you on August 8th here in Ohio. And you folks in the other states, if it goes down in Ohio, it'll go down in other states right after that. So, again, I'm going to tell you and continue to warn you about this. It's very, very important. I know you're saying, boy, Pastor, you sound like a broken record. Well, I have to on this. It's very, very, very important that we stopped this, that you vote no on issue one, that you spread the word on issue one, that you put out. We put out just in our county alone over 1,000 signs to vote no on issue one, okay? And we've worked hard to do that because we want people to make sure they understand. They really got snuckered. They really got deceived on August 8th. This time we want them to completely understand that. In fact, we're even buying some billboards to put up in certain areas, our churches, just to get this word out, because this is not a political issue. It is a moral issue. It is a sin issue. God's word, the Bible, is pretty clear. Resistance to tyranny, and that's what this is. This is absolute tyranny. Resistance to tyranny is obedience to God. Failure to resist tyranny is always failure. It's always disobedience to God. So this is why we're going to fight this with everything we can. And again, I just want to remind you, you folks out there in the other states, it'll be a domino effect. This is what they have planned. If it goes down in a red state like Ohio, if they can pull that off here with our Tea Party movements and our conservative movements, they're gonna go after it. They're gonna George Soros already in Ohio. You've got about $60 million of dark money, dark money coming in from California, coming in from New York. This is Soros blood money. This is George Soros' blood money. And so I'm here to try to warn you about them. Now, we're coming up to a break. When we come back from the break, I'm going to play you another clip. Now, in this clip is something we talked about over a year ago on this radio program. We talked about the experimentation on children. Now, we didn't get into the killing of the children that Mr. Fauci was responsible for. We showed you, we told you, in fact, we played clips of how he experimented and tortured animals, too. But he tortured his children. This guy is like Joseph Mengele, here. But he's got George Soros' money to protect him. He's got Bill Gates' money to protect him, Zuckerberg type of money. All of the billionaires from hell because of the evilness of this man. And this is why, folks, you gotta stand up now. This is the time. Remember, when you stand before the Lord and he asks you, what were you doing when they were just torturing, when they were murdering my children? The only answer acceptable is everything I could, Lord, to stop it. And so that's what you need to do. You need to be ready. So we'll be coming to a break in just a minute here. When we come back from the break, I will have to introduce that again as we come up here tomorrow. We play this second part in the afternoon. So we will be back right after this with a whole lot more. Don't go away.
Thank you. When I grow up, I want to work for a woke company. Like super woke.
When I grow up,
I want to be hired based on what I look like.
Rather than my skills.
I want to be judged
by my political beliefs.
I want to get promoted
based on my chromosomes.
When I grow up,
I want to be offended
by my coworkers
and walk around the office
on eggshells
and have my words policed
by HR.
Words like
grandfather,
peanut gallery,
long time no see,
no can do.
When I grow up,
I want to be obsessed with emotional safety
and do workplace sensitivity training
all day long.
When I grow up, I want to climb the corporate ladder.
Just by following the crowd.
I want to be a conformist.
I want to weaponize my pronouns. What are pronouns?
It's time to grow up and get back to work. Introducing the number one woke-free job board in America, RedBalloon.work.